responsible for inspecting the migrant housing pre-occupancy before H-2A workers, the ones who are here legally contracted by the farmers to come and harvest the precious crops that we grow. One of the challenges has been some of the advocacy groups criticize us for not inspecting all the labor camps, but these are illegal camps that they will not give us the location for, and we don't have the staff to ride around every little country road and nook and cranny in the state.
So how do you walk that fine line so that you are able to send your people out to those areas?
Well, we hope that any advocacy group that is out there in support of the migrant workers will be forthcoming, and when they criticize us or when they meet with us and tell us that, you know, there are farm housing locations out there that we have not inspected, we would hope that they would give us the GPS coordinates so we could instantly go and do that. But like I said, we have our farmers that are contracting H-2A workers, and we inspect those camps. And if there are any out there that are unregistered or who haven't asked for that pre-occupancy inspection, then we would like their help in discovering where they are.
Your challenger is John Brooks. Now, he held your position from 1977 to 1992.
Yes, he was.
One of his campaign platform points is that if he regained this position, he would promote technical training programs at community colleges and state colleges to then promote jobs. What's your position on that?
Well, a criticism of my challenger has been that he would promote those things, and we do that already. It really isn't our job to become very involved in starting new things through the university, building new buildings, getting all that organized. Our primary emphasis in our department is on our apprenticeship program. In fact, companies that we work with who have established apprenticeship programs are spending up to $120,000 each apprentice during the four-year program. So the companies are investing in it already. So we're encouraging parents to talk to their children about the apprenticeship program. You know, there's such a push these days for everybody to go to a four-year college when we're in desperate need of skilled individuals, people who have construction projects or manufacturing companies who have new technology, that they're having a hard time finding those skilled workers. And it's a tremendous help to veterans because we're the authorizing agency for the GI educational bill. And if a company will start an apprenticeship program and include veterans that already work for them, or to bring in new veterans into that program to teach them the skills that they need to transfer their military experience to the private sector. And we have expanded our online presence where you can go in and download 70 PowerPoint presentations that you can use at your desk or in your facility to train people so that they're not obligated to go after work somewhere to get that training. We also have Labor One, which is the mobile training unit. It's like an RV, except it's set up for training, and we can take it to any site in the state, be it manufacturing or a construction site, and provide training on the spot in whatever category the employer believes and the employees believe they need training in. It allows us to capture subcontractors who are working on a project who are only there for a short period of time, train those folks, say, in fall protection, and they can walk a few feet from the training vehicle, Labor One, and put those educational ideas and training into practice immediately.
Why do you feel you're the best candidate for this position of North Carolina Commissioner of Labor?
We have concentrated on education and training, partnerships and alliances with our business community all over the state. We also have the public sector employees, and we've created all sorts of programs to be safer in the jobs they do, too. If you look at the records, when Mr. Brooks left office, he had the highest injury and illness rate at 8.6 per 100 full-time workers in the history of the state. That's unacceptable. over the last 12 years, we have lowered that rate substantially, working with our business community, and now it stands at 3.1.